Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
The Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, was asked on the Anton Savage show here on News Talk on October 18th last about popping up these unexpected visits in emergency departments. She stated, "That's the way I'm doing it. If they don't like it, they can leave." Take a listen.
Unannounced arrivals, is that something that should be, I mean, if you're going to do a quasi-hospital inspection, isn't that something that should be systematised and regularised rather than having a minister simply pop up?
I don't know. You know, that's the way I'm doing it. You know, they suppose they can like it or leave it. Like, I also go on scheduled visits. You know, I was on a scheduled visit in Limerick last week and we had a good look. I had a good look around. I met the patient advocate forum. I met some of the different clinicians.
Well, one consultant who was not encouraged by the minister's words is Dr. Lisa Cunningham, consultant in emergency medicine at Mayo University Hospital, and she joins me now. You're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder, Lisa. You penned a long article, a long opinion piece in the Connacht Telegraph recently, talking about this comment, and you said it's a throwaway comment that is not an encouraging one for the current healthcare staff. It is a derogatory, flippant comment that displays her view of leadership. Our staff and patients are not to be used as political pawns, and you've taken what she's saying very, very seriously. Tell me more about what's prompted you to write that letter.
Thank you, Ciara. Thanks very much for having me on. And I suppose it was kind of a bit of a culmination for me because there was a lot of negative PR that was going on within the national media about our hospital, Mayo University Hospital. And there was a lot of us that were quite upset about it. When I say us, the staff in the hospital, there was a lot of patients that were quite upset about it as well. And it just got to a point where I said, no, the actual true facts need to come out. So that opinion piece that I penned to the Connacht Telegraph was more of a piece to mainly educate the public a little bit more about actually the true nitty-gritty things that are going on in the hospital, like the bed capacity, like the funding, etc. Things that the staff know about. The public are definitely hearing us talk about it within the hospital as well. And I think the last point of it really that made me kind of go for it was definitely listening to the minister on the Anton Savage show and listening to that piece just really, really upset me when I heard she said that flippant comment.
And why did it upset you so much?
Because I think, you know, we're trying our best in the health service to encourage people to stay in the health service as a healthcare. We're trying to get people home from abroad, from all my colleagues that have got abroad to the different countries. We're trying to encourage workforce into the country. And to hear the head of our whole minister of health say that's the way I'm doing it. If they don't like it, they can leave. And I know it was probably a little bit of a throwaway comment, but it really hit me hard over that. And it definitely a lot of the staff when we were at work then on the Monday, they had heard too as well. And they were quite upset about it as well, saying that is an open invitation to leave the health service if you don't like the way things are being done, which is not what we should be doing. As a healthcare worker, any of our healthcare workers, our main thing is to advocate for the patient. That is our baseline. And if we can't do that, and if we're not encouraged to do that, then we're being told, just leave. Now, I know that's what she meant about she is popping up at the emergency departments. I have absolutely no problem with her popping up unannounced to any emergency department. In fact, I really encourage that because that actually shows what the true grit is that goes on in any emergency department. So that would be most welcome. But I suppose that comment just wasn't an agreeable comment.
She did make an unscheduled visit, didn't she, to Mayo UH in August of this year. What did she see?
She actually made two unscheduled visits. One was shortly after Storm Éowyn had absolutely desecrated us in the west of Ireland. And I had actually spoken a bit about this on my Instagram in February, just saying about it wasn't just necessarily the medical impact that the storm had brought to us, but actually the huge social impact, because we had a lot of Mayo population that didn't have electricity for their nebulizer stay at home. So they had to come into hospital. So she actually came in February as well. And you know, she related very well with the staff then, very well with the management, seeing what we actually were doing. She arrived then as well in August. Now, I wasn't on call that weekend. My colleague was, and he was at work. So emergency department consultant. And I think one of the big things that people are hearing from our government is that the consultants are not working at the weekend. We are working at the weekend. So what she saw was actually our emergency department working at the weekend. I think her statement then within the Dáil said that it wasn't replicated, the work, the amount of work, and wasn't replicated up the house. So the in-house teams and the wards, the radiology department, which she singled out, really angered quite a lot of the staff. And we had a staff meeting with all our consultants just to kind of chat about that, because our consultant radiology cohort are in at the weekend. They are absolutely scanning patients. They are reporting the scans as well. We have probably up to 100% of our scans that are performed at the weekend in Mayo University Hospital are reported by 8 o'clock on Monday morning. And the national average, I think, is about 40 to 50%. So there's a huge amount of body of work that is going on at the hospital at the weekend. And maybe the minister didn't see it outright, but there's so much that goes on within the backgrounds of our hospital at the weekend.
Well, she made that unscheduled visit in August after the story emerged that there was a man waiting for over 13 hours in an ambulance outside Mayo University Hospital before he was being admitted. And she said that when she went to the hospital, that she was really deeply concerned because the ED, she said, was absolutely overwhelmed. And she did say that the rest of the hospital was completely empty. There were practically no diagnostics going on. She didn't say there was none whatsoever. There was practically none. There weren't even people in the diagnostics area. And to be fair, Lisa, I think she was pointing the blame not necessarily at the emergency department, mm-hmm. but at the other areas of the hospital. She said that there was one weekend in MUH where 16 patients were discharged on Saturday, just one was discharged on Sunday, and then suddenly 47 were discharged on Monday. And she said that is a sign to her that the hospital has real issues in terms of the balance of staff across a 7-day roster. Is she wrong in that?
I think it's a very selective look at it. This is a whole piece of a jigsaw that makes up a bigger piece. So just to say that, you know, that is absolutely not right that at the weekends that there is not other work being done up in the wards, etc. When that comment was made, I had so much, we chatted about it at work with, so much messages came to me as well from staff around the hospital telling me the story of how, you know, they had X amount of patients that were up in the wards that were already on trolleys in the wards, etc., how they were down staff, how they're waiting for the safer staffing. So that is absolutely unfair to say. And I do agree, she is not pointing the blame at the emergency department. However, this patient that comes into me in the emergency department is still my patient. I will follow through to the medical specialty, cardiology, whoever it is that they're getting admitted under. They are still all under our care in Mayo University Hospital. And we are very, you know, tight consultant group. We are very friendly with all of each other, like from the specialties, etc. And it was just, so I can't say that this is, oh yeah, it's not my fault, the emergency department is actually the cardiologist's fault, or it's the, you know, the respiratory consultants. That's absolutely not true. It's absolutely, there's a bigger piece that's got out of this jigsaw with it.
Yeah, so she does say that. She says it's a whole hospital responsibility here. And she has said from the very outset when she was minister and she looked at data around staffing across the 7-day week, she said, look, 80% of consultants on her preliminary investigations are working on Mondays. Only 6% of those people are working on Sundays. So yes, there is some presence there at the weekend, but it's not the same as what's there Monday to Friday, and it should be.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I agree with that. I work at the weekends for that as well. And there's lots of my consultant colleagues that would absolutely love to do that. So for example, if you have a respiratory consultant that wants to do an outpatient clinic on a Saturday, it's not just one consultant that's going to be there to do it. You still need the staffing that will actually be able to help. You need the administration staff. You need the nursing staff if you want to do a bronchoscopy list on a Saturday. So the consultant will absolutely do that. But where's the rest of the staff to be able to do it? And as one of my colleagues said before from the IMO, that it's robbing Peter to pay Paul. So if you want to have those staff, all of the staff, by the way, not just the consultants working on, say, Saturday or Sunday and having those sort of clinics, well, you're going to have to take them off the roster from Monday and Tuesday, say, for example, or do you just want them working the whole 7 days round, as in like that maybe 2-3 respiratory consultants that you have in one hospital to be able to do that? It doesn't make any sense. You need more staff to be able to have more time for the patient if you're going to have the 24/7 roster.
Yeah, I think what she's so specifically saying is that this overwhelming situation that she saw within the emergency department mm-hmm. was because there were no beds available for patients because so few were being discharged on Sunday. They were all being discharged on the Monday, the vast majority of them. And to be honest, the research that I've done would suggest that she's actually right on that.
And that was absolutely right at that weekend. Absolutely. That one person that was discharged on the Sunday at 47 on a Monday. But then with that, Ciara, we have to look at the whole picture that goes on all across the week as well. So, and also, what are the resources that we need to be able to safely discharge patients? And whether it is that we need to have access to a community step-down facility, so we'd be able to pick up the phone to be able to have a community step-down facility to discharge that patient safely. But it has to happen all the way around the clock for the patient. So it has to be 7 days. Now, it's one part of that, Ciara, to be able to state about discharging patients. This is such a small part of the whole patient journey to be able to do that safely. Mm-hmm. But I feel that it's only analysing one very small part of it, which isn't right. And it's given one perspective of it.
I have seen other political parties, particularly I suppose those in opposition, critical of Jennifer Carl-McNeill's what they're calling a showdown approach. Do you feel that at times?
Yes, and a lot of the staff do as well. That's not just me saying it or feeling it as well. Definitely a lot of the staff feel it in this way. I mean, one of the letter that she wrote out to the local representatives, which I've seen, was to state that, you know, that we're always in the red, as in Mayo University Hospital, 80% of our days this year has been on the trolleys, in red on trolleys. So, you know, take one part about a weekend discharge, but actually the weekend is only one very small part of the week. So why isn't that then, you know, just at the weekends that we have those, you know, capacity issues, etc. There's a whole other function to this as well. And I feel like it's taken one small piece of data analysis and making it a lot bigger than it is. The other part of the letter she states is that after her visit and after she aired it within the Dáil, that we had 3 weeks of where we had reduced about trolley numbers, etc. And every single person in the hospital knew and felt this. And also every patient that came through the doors as well, because there's always, when there's a PR spin about any hospital, you can ask any emergency consultant, when there's a negative media attention that comes onto a hospital, we get a huge reduction of our numbers in the few days and weeks after that, because the public are afraid to come to the emergency department. It is like clockwork, Ciara. We can see this. So of course, our trolley numbers goes down because we don't have the amount of volume of patients coming into the emergency department. And then they will hit up probably about 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. And that is exactly what we saw after the minister was there. We've hit some of our day targets. Is about 170 patients coming to our emergency department today. I haven't seen those figures ever in Mayo. These are the highest figures that we have. We now have a Mayo average of about 120 a day. When I started there a few weeks ago, sorry, I'll just do that again. I have a little bit of dry throat. But when I started there a few years ago, the average was about 100 a day, and a very busy day would have been about 120, 130. So now we're gone right up in the amount of numbers of presentations that are coming, and therefore patients are going to have to be admitted. More patients are being admitted, and we don't have the bed capacity for them. And that was one of the other parts of my article that I looked at, was the bed capacity, which has not been increased to the extent as it should have been for the amount of patients that are being admitted through our emergency departments.
You know, there will be people listening today to The Hard Shoulder, Lisa, who will be saying, you know what, the minister is now using data to bring visibility to rostering and to bring visibility to the idea of productivity and questions about productivity within the health service, and consultants just aren't liking this.
No, absolutely not. I don't agree with that. We absolutely want to show that. And actually, the article that I wrote for the Connacht Telegraph, I have given our own HSE data back to say that this is actually what's happened. So the productivity aspect, I mean, you can ask the consultant radiology cohort about their data from the weekend and their reporting data, etc. But it's selective data that can be used to be able to create that narrative. We want to be able to get through as more patients as we can. And remember, the consultant body is just one small, very cohort of a whole healthcare profession. We need to have all the others in relation to physios, speech and language, occupational therapy, nursing staff, HCAs, etc. And, you know, the safer staffing level will be a perfect example of that. And the minister has stated that we do not have enough staff from the safer staffing level, which is an essential government policy. That was what was written in her letter. But also on the heading of that, she stated that we actually do have enough staff in our hospital. So it was very contradictory. So she's using one piece of evidence for this, but actually knowing that we actually don't have enough of the safer staffing. For example, in Mayo University Hospital, in the emergency department, we are 18.5 nurses short of the safer staffing level. That is absolutely crazy level to be short. And that's just the emergency department.
All right. Dr. Lisa Cunningham, thank you for speaking to us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.